You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. Anyone following church life lately or news would know that churches are confronting this issue of sexual abuse. We're in need of awareness, prevention, and care. And the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the SBC is holding an important conference this fall in October in the Dallas area. It's a national conference. It will be equipping churches to confront the abuse crisis and prepare the church to do better and do well in this area. And to talk about the conference and the issues connected to it, we want to welcome in this episode Daniel Darling, who serves as Vice President for Communications for the ERLC. Dan, welcome to the podcast.
Brian, thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
Well, at the SBC meeting, this issue loomed large for good reason, and it was talked about that the ERLC switched themes for its annual national conference. Why was it so important to Dr. Moore, you and others, to pivot toward this topic, and what all has come about for the conference?
So we had planned to do a conference on civility, which is a very, very important topic and something that's front of mind as we head into an election season and trying to think through how do Christians, talk about difficult issues well, how do we do this, given that we're in a somewhat of a civility crisis in the country. But we just became really convicted that this abuse crisis in the Southern Baptist Convention was such an important thing and such a issue we had to deal with, and had to really step in and gather the best voices we can on this to work with J.D. Greer's sexual abuse advisory group and really help equip churches on how to both prevent abuse, but also to know how to report well and how to be a refuge for survivors of abuse. So we felt it was such a crisis, given all the just sort of escalating reports of abuse that we've seen. And so we just felt like we need to switch gears and really make this a focal point. And, it was a bit of a, an act of faith because we weren't sure what the response would be, and if churches were feeling like we were, that this is something that we need to really address. And it turns out that it is, and this is shaping up to be the largest ERLC conference we've ever had.
Well, it's awesome. I've been to one of your national conferences, and they're so well done. Great speakers, the way the venue is, and how it all comes together. People could find out at erlc.com under the upcoming events page. They can see the speakers lineup for Oklahoma Baptist listening. It's October 3rd through 5th, I believe, which is not OU Texas weekend, y'all. So that's a different weekend. But
so no excuses.
That's right. So you can check out registration information. One of the speakers, Dan, is Rachel Denhaller, and I thought you could tell our listeners about the significance of her her life and her voice on this and why she was included in the conference.
We wanted to have her because, as people are aware, that Rachel Denhaller has kind of been at the centerpiece of this abuse issue. She's an abuse survivor on the United States Olympic gymnast team, and she really was the one that kind of exposed the abuse by Larry Nassar, a doctor for the Olympic team, and also someone who worked at Michigan State. And it was her dogged determination to see this, justice done that really let the world know what was happening and was kind of a catalyst for things going on. And I think most people have seen her powerful testimony in that hearing where she gave a really strong gospel presentation and talked about justice and mercy and the cross. And so we really wanted to have her, someone that we can both learn from in terms of, how do you talk to victims? How do you think about what victims are thinking in terms of that? But also how to do good prevention well. She's been a real leader for that. She's also been someone who's been part of our advisory the advisory group that J.D. Greer has put together as well. So she's going to be a great speaker, and I encourage people to come and listen to what she has to say.
Well, I'm so glad her voice will be continued through the conference, and appreciate her courage to step forth. And Rachel was one of the contributing writers for a book that I have sitting in front of me, Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This book was distributed widely at SBC. We'll be connecting Oklahoma Baptist with copies here this fall, and it's just a great resource. Could you tell us, Dan, more about the Caring Well Challenge, about this book, what it's all about, how it could help a church of really any size?
Well, I think it's just a really fantastic resource that the Brad Hambrick and several others on the Sexual Abuse Advisor Group put together. It goes along with the free curriculum at that is at churchcares.org, and we encourage people, churches, to go there and use the free curriculum. And then this study guide, this book that goes along with it, is really helpful just beyond, you know, using it to go through the video curriculum, but as a handy resource that for pastors and church leaders to have in their library to kind of pull off the shelf. You know, first of all, to help walk them through, okay, what are our processes? What are the gaps? What do we need to shore up? But also, if an incident happens or something happens, they can have a guide on what to do. And so we're encouraging churches to do that. We're encouraging churches to take what we're calling the Caring Well Challenge, which is basically a sort of checklist for churches to kind of go through to see if. Where they're good, you know, if they can, you know, if there's gaps in their processes, if there's training that they need to do. And you can find the Caring Well Challenge at caringwell.com. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to do with the curriculum and with the study guide and the Caring Well Challenge and in this conference is we're not just thinking massive churches. We're thinking churches of all sizes, from, you know, small churches to big churches. And we know a lot of our churches are small to medium-sized churches that, you know, are really understaffed, are just trying to, you know, to piece things together to do basic functions. And so we understand that. I pastored a small church, and I get that completely. So we try to make it as easy as possible for pathways for churches to really become safe places for children.
Well, I'm so glad these resources and efforts and events are coming together, and the book is excellent. Again, go to erlc.com to find out more about that. Speaking of books, Dan is a accomplished writer. We discussed in one of our past podcasts his book, The Original Jesus. And today, Dan, I thought we could talk about The Dignity Revolution and what all that book is about and what kind of impact you see it having.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, so the book, The Dignity Revolution, is really helps ask and answer the question, what does it mean when the Bible talks about every human being created in the image of God? What does that mean for the way that we see ourselves and for the way that we see our neighbors? And so we first kind of walk through, you know, what does the Imago Dei mean? What is human dignity? But then kind of walk through a series of issues and how should we think about these things? Things like abortion, things like marriage, things like religious liberty, things like immigration and health care and all these vexing issues that face us. How should believers think about these things? And what we see in Scripture is that ultimately we should see every person created in the image of God, and that should kind of shape our public policy.
I think that's a great, powerful concept. It's very simple. It's biblical. The news headlines lead us to kind of group people up and dismiss or be abrasive, but seeing each person as made in God's image, bearing dignity, inherent dignity, could, as you say, revolutionize society. So that is a powerful concept. What are some particular fronts you think, Dan, that embracing this concept could really change the way the conversations we're having and the ministry we're seeing?
Well, I think really for churches, you know, sometimes we think of these broad issues and concepts that we argue about in the culture, which are important, things like the pro-life issue and health care and all that stuff. But as churches, really, I think we should think about human dignity as well, because, you know, the church should be the one place where people are valued not for what they can bring to our congregation, not for their perceived value, but to send the message that a person's worth is wrapped up in the fact that they're an image bearer. And so, you know, the kingdom of God kind of resets our priorities. It's, you know, the last shall be first, and the weakest among us have as much worth and power as the strongest among us. So this works out in a variety of ways, but one of the ways it does is, you know, how do we view children? Do we view children as a blessing, or do we view them as kind of a nuisance? How do we view the disabled community? How do we view people who are aging? Sometimes in our churches, we send a subtle message that this church is only for the cool and the hip. But in the kingdom of God, your value is not tied up in how much you can tithe or how much, you know, your gifts and where you can serve and what kind of leadership you can provide, but your value is based on the fact that you're an image bearer and you're a child of God. So I think we need to think about this, even the way we structure our churches and the way we do things.
That's awesome. Well, check it out, The Dignity Revolution. I saw on your website, danieldarling.com, that you have another book in the works, a forthcoming release. Could you tell us about that, Dan?
Yeah, so I have a Christmas book coming out this Christmas called The Characters of Christmas. I'm pretty excited about this. This will go through several characters in the Christmas story, people that we see in our nativity sets, people we read about, Mary and Joseph and the wise men and shepherds and Simeon and Anna and all these characters. And just talk about, you know, how these are very ordinary people kind of wrapped up in the story of Jesus, and how all of them tell us something about the kingdom of God and tell us something about who Jesus is.
I look forward to seeing that. You know, Dan, we've been talking about some weightier issues. We were talking about the sexual abuse crisis and how to respond and how to better prevent. We were talking about the conference. We were talking about some of these real weighty topics you've dealt with on the books. But if I could take on one topic of levity just for a moment, just recently I hit the big 4-0, turning 40. In Oklahoma, we think of Mike Gundy saying famously, "I'm a man, I'm 40." And we had an interaction once on Twitter about that. But you too made that transition into your 40s lately. And I know you think about life stages a lot. And you were sharing some insight with me the other day I wanted to ask about, and turning 40 and 41. Can you unpack that?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, turning 40 to me was a great time. It's sort of like, okay, you know, it's sort of a marker of adulthood. Like, okay, when you're 40, I mean, I felt like an adult earlier in my life, having children and a job and a wife, but 40 kind of seems like, okay, like this is a big time of adulthood. Maybe hopefully you've got some wisdom, that you can share. It was a really, I think, exciting time for me. When I turned 41, it was a little bit different. And there's, it's interesting. John Piper wrote a piece about when he turned 41. I've talked to several others who said that was actually a more difficult year. And I've kind of experienced that myself, that it's a kind of a midlife, I want to say crisis, you know, because I didn't go buy a Corvette and things like that. But it is a kind of a time where you're reflecting on, okay, what am I doing? Why am I here? What does God have for me for the rest of my life? You start to see, even though, you know, 41, you're still relatively young, you start to see kind of a shortening of your days, of, you know, what Moses talks about, Lord, teach us the number of days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom. You're seeing your children grow older, and you're just like, okay, I want to live my days with purpose. What does that look like? I think there can be a little melancholy, a little depression if you're not careful. So I think those are kind of challenges of turning 41. When people told me about a kind of a midlife thing 4 or 5 years ago, I've had colleagues that told me this, said, "Oh, just wait till you hit 41. I was like, "Oh, whatever, that's not a big deal." But it's a real thing. And I think for men especially, and women too, but men especially, when you hit that midlife, I think it's just good to be wise to say, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me?" To rest in the Lord, to find your identity and the fact that you're known by God and you know God. And I think those are really important things to sort of get through a midlife crisis.
Thanks for sharing that. When you told me that much, it helped me. So I'm glad you mentioned it here on the podcast. Dan, if people wanted to get more familiar with your books and your writing or your social media, what's the best way to connect with you?
So you can connect with me a couple of ways. One is to go to my website, danieldarling.com. You can sign up for a newsletter that I have there where I send out kind of a fresh article or idea every week. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dan Darling. If you don't mind a few tweets about the Cubs or any Chicago sports teams.
Absolutely. That's great. Well, Dan, I always appreciate your perspective on things, and I really admire your work on this conference and these issues. In your role with the RLC, you deal with a lot of fast-changing culture, a lot of hot topics that come up, and of course, working alongside Dr. Moore. It's just awesome. So thank you for taking some time on the podcast today. Check it out, erlc.com. Go to danieldarling.com and find out more about his books and writings. And Dan, let's stay connected and keep the conversation going even as I turn 41 next year.
All right. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Love all the great work you're doing out there in Oklahoma.
Well, thanks again for all your service in the kingdom and at the ERLC, Dan. Blessings to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.